How do you pronounce that word? How you just pronounce it? Babel. Right? That's the Oxford standard. Some people pronounce it Babel. That's an American. I mean, it really doesn't matter because you will know what we mean, either Babel, Babel. But if I say that in Cantonese, do anybody know that? Some of us, for sure. Barbie. Barbie top. And maybe some of you have no idea what I'm talking about. I mean, without starting to give you the English name of that. Then if you don't know what I'm talking about, perhaps you will stop listening to me. Or will you try your best to listen? Say, if I now start to preach in Cantonese, will you still try to listen? Because I've some of them nod ahead because I know Cantonese, there's no problem for me. But if you don't know, but knowing that I'm speaking God's word, will you try? How hard will you try? We have a Korean pastor in... No, I'm not going to do it in Cantonese, don't worry. We have a Korean pastor in the Alliance family, in the Alliance New Sydney Church. And when we have pastor lunch, sometimes when he share, I don't quite understand what he means. He certainly speak in English, but it's a lot Korean than English. Maybe it's my English is not as good. Sometimes Pastor Andrew will try to help clarify. If he knows like what he's like actually talking about, but sometimes we just listen and try our best to hear what he share and pray for him. We also have a good number of Chinese church in Alliance, and quite a number of Chinese pastors, and we sometimes feel difficult to share in English in the pastor lunch. But I would say we have good fellowship with each other. Even if there are things that we may not agree with each other, it's not because of the language barrier. Because if we have that language barrier, then we won't know that we actually disagree with each other, right? You need to communicate before you know you disagree with each other. I once joined a service in a Middle Eastern church. And with limited translation, and I don't understand Aramaic, and we sort of worship together. I have the trust that they are worshiping the same God that I worship, although I don't know the lyrics. We had Holy Communion together. We share a meal together. Sister actually came forward and to ask me to pray for her afterwards. And I only understand half of it. I've tried to clarify, and then I pray for her. I've tried to do my best to do that. We both know that the understanding is quite limited, but we had good fellowship. I think especially during prayer, because we know our God, He understands what I'm trying to pray for her. On the Pentecost Sunday today, before we read about from Acts 2, from how people from different nations hear their own language without Google Translate. First, we want to read about the story of Babel, where the language was confused and divided. It's in Genesis chapter 11. If you think about the book of Genesis, it first start off with creation in the first two chapters, and the four in chapter 3, and then it's the first killing, which is actually the start of corruption of the earth. And then it's Noah and the flood. Seems that we are starting it all over again. And in chapter 10, I'm pretty sure almost none of us actually read word by word, who have actually done Genesis chapter 10, word by word. There's a whole lot of names talking about the descendants of Noah. And there's a lot of names. I haven't gone through each of them. And then it's chapter 11. That's what we're looking at. the story of Babel, a story you have probably heard before. And when you read the first verse in chapter 11, now the whole earth has one language and the same words. I'm not sure whether you have actually think about how could that be possible. I mean, if you didn't skip those names in the previous chapter, you may have noticed that actually in the previous chapter, in chapter 10, verse 25, it's already said the earth was divided. When you divide it into so many places, how can you still have one language and same word? You don't need to study linguistics, then you know that. Chapter 11 is actually like chapter 2 in Genesis. You see that in Genesis chapter 1 and 2, there's two accounts of creation. After the first chapter talking about the 7 days that God created the world, and then it's sort of zooming on day 6, like how God created mankind. This is the same. It's like zooming back to chapter 10 to talk about, give us more details about how the earth was divided. I think knowing this helps us to understand the meaning of the whole earth. We need to remember that they don't have internet at that time. They don't know anything happened far away from them. So their whole earth is not our whole earth. Maybe we should translate that into all the land that near to them. Meaning people living near to them in the same region are using the same language. Just like us, in this hall, we all speak English. Not just one language, it's also the same words. That's something like the same set of vocabulary. It's actually determined by your culture. Isn't it cool? Everybody have the same one language and the same words. You know what? The first time when you guys say, "Oh, GG," I have no idea what that is. Anybody knows? I mean, don't know about that? Yeah, you need to figure out yourself, hey? And that's not the only instance. I mean, I sort of know a bit of English, and I find it difficult sometimes to communicate because we have different set of vocabulary. But at that time, those people in that region, they didn't have that problem. Definitions are clear, no miscommunication. Isn't that great we live in that world? Isn't that great unity? So what were they doing there? They were trying to build a city and a tower. Well, usually we focus on the tower, but actually it's a city with a tower. A city that they can all live in, that they won't spread out to different places. And also a tower that can reach heaven. They wanted to stay together. That's what a city for. And they want to, instead in scripture, they want to make a name for themselves. I put it all there so that you can choose not to flip through your, but it's too small, I mean flip through your Bible. But if you want, feel free to open your Bible, Genesis 11. They want to do those projects, big projects. You want to stay together, let's build. If the council allow us to build some apartments here, then you can all live here. Would it be a good thing? I mean, one of us would like to sponsor the church to build a 12-story building, and then every one of us can live in there for free. Ah, that's nice. You don't think it's nice? No? Yeah, probably not. Some of them, you don't like that? Well, then the Lord came down to confuse the language. Why? To some people, when we read that, it's like when you in your company, you have two competing teams, and you know that the other team is doing very good, and so we send somebody there and throw the laptop away. What was God doing? A few words actually keep coming up in this passage. Language, and earth. At that time, humanity is unified in both language and the place they live, at least in that region. We sort of see unity from how they speak and where they live. But after this incident, the earth was divided. People speak different languages. Even in our church, many times we have language barriers. You will see the quite frequently later on the camp, the sports days that you should sign up today, announcement time, combined service. Who have signed up for the lunch today? Yeah, and you may need to speak in Cantonese sometimes, or you can use English to communicate with somebody whose English may not be as good as you. Now, in a church like that, we have different language, but we have things in common. One God, one Christ, one Holy Spirit. The Israelites know about one God in the Old Testament. In the Gospel, we know about one Christ, our only Savior, the only path to God. In Pentecost, God gave us the same Holy Spirit. Today is Pentecost Sunday. We're reading the Babel story and the Pentecost story together. Because the Pentecost is the reversal of Babel. Let's try to understand a little bit more about the Babel story. Isn't it good to speak one language and have the same vocabulary, same culture? Why God didn't let us just stay like that? Things can be done in a more efficient way. I mean, the ex-com can have meeting in English instead of Chinese. I know we can find it difficult sometimes, maybe. But I mean, if we do it in English, then the other one will find it difficult. No more translation. I think there will be less miscommunication as well. Why did God destroy the unity? The unity. Well, you may have noticed that having a building is not a bad thing, but building a tower to reach the heaven, we know that it's a no-no. It's just like when Eve ate the fruit, she wanted to be God. These people want to make a name for themselves. That's why God is jealous and God is afraid that they might be greater than Him. So that's why God confuse the language. Is it like that? I would say it's far from it. If you read in verse 5, the Lord has to descend from heaven just to see the tower. It's too low. Maybe it's not completed yet. But you know that if God needs to build a tower, what would God do? How God created the world? He would say, let there be a tower. And there will be a tower. It will appear without breaking through it. So why did God destroy that unity, destroy the desire to stay together? Okay, if you are familiar with the creation story, you may point it out, as some people pointed out, God's will to mankind is be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. It was God's will from the beginning in the first chapter, Genesis 1:28. And also, God actually repeated that to Noah in chapter 9. So that is God's will. That's why God needs to confuse them, their language. Because these people now, they want to stay together in one place in a big city instead of following God's will. Maybe that's the reason. But for sure, God wants us to have unity. Think about that. One language and staying together. Those things sounds like unity. Why not? Also that we are not living together anymore, not like the early church. But I mean, you won't have a lot of doubts that like living together is a good thing, if it's possible. Some people think, maybe not. What is unity? God confused the language because that is not the unity that God wants us to have. Maybe instead God wants us to deal with the diversity. Last year in the camp when we talked about the body of Christ, I mean, even you were not there, you know, when we talk about the body of Christ, it's like, it's united, but have diversity. Each body part have their own function. There's different body parts, right? Diversity, unity. Those two go hand in hand. And also from day one, when God creates order, separate light from darkness, nothing is now monotone. Look at difference of different kind of trees, plants. You know, it's not like the man-made thing, right? Even when we do man-made things, we try to make it like naturally different. Each plant is different. We look at the stars. Why the stars? It's already moon there. Why we need stars? That's God's creation. Every one of us is different. So oneness and sameness is different. Just search for the definition to make sure I'm right. Oneness is not sameness. So when God confused the language, He didn't mean to mess up the unity, because there actually just no, there's not unity there. There wasn't any oneness. There's only sameness there. Confusing the language a lot of the time seems to be a punishment, but it's not. It's God's goodwill. God actually wants to protect them. Think about that. Just like after the fall, God drove Adam and Eve out of the Garden of Eden. What's the purpose? God said to prevent them to live forever. We probably think that that's bad. That's why we have death, right? But with death, God actually put a limit on the downward spiral of corruption. Imagine that you will live forever, and you will sin forever. Imagine that. Imagine there's no death. Now it's the same. The confusion of language, God actually prevent them from dwelling with the false unity. Building such tower, such city, is not a demonstration of God's unity. When they say, let's do something together, it doesn't seem to be a way to God's unity. Let's fast forward to the Pentecost. When God unites the believer with the Holy Spirit. In Acts, when the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly, there came from heaven a sound like mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rest on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. As the Spirit enabled them, they speak in different language. If you still remember, we just talked about the Babel story. The Lord came down after people start to plan, start to build. This time in Jerusalem, the disciples were waiting. They were joyful, they sing praise to God in the temple, but they didn't start any evangelical events. Well, at that time, they already know they have seen the resurrected Jesus. Maybe because they were instructed by Jesus, they need to wait in Jerusalem for the Holy Spirit. So one day, on the day, in the Pentecost, it's a special day. It's actually the harvest festival of Jewish people. They gather together and in one place. It's not that they know the Holy Spirit will arrive on that day, so they haven't planned to invite people to come. But like, people come for the Jewish festival. So not just the disciples in Jerusalem, devout men from every nation under heaven, they are all there. They were all there in Jerusalem. At that time, the Jews, they separate to different places. They no longer all live in Israel. It seems like it's just like the same status after Babel, when God confused the language and dispersed them. So that's why I jump a lot directly to Pentecost. And now, as the Holy Spirit filled it, the apostles, they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Those people from different nations, they heard the apostle speaking in their own language. When you look at the list, those in yellow, it's difficult to pronounce even. I mean, those names. Though, although not from all the nations of the world, but Luke actually includes his list in this list. The descendants of the three sons of Noah. It's just like the list in Genesis 10. Those who were divided now came together. It is a dramatic reversal of what happened in Babel. Human language was confused. The nation was scattered. Now language barrier were overcome supernaturally. This is a sign that the nation would now gather together in Christ. Although what we read from the Revelation has not happened yet. But we can see that on that great day, all those people redeemed by Jesus Christ, all of us, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, will come together. There won't be just us. There won't be just people who can speak English. This unity in Jerusalem is different from that so-called unity in Babel in three ways. The first one is this is God-given. This unity is initiated by God, given by the Holy Spirit. It's not by human who want to ascend to heaven. It's actually heaven in terms of the presence of God in the Holy Spirit descend to the earth. Indwell in every believer. It's a unity given by God. And this huge evangelical project, event, involving thousands of people become believers, 3,000 of them. We haven't counted those unbelieved. This was organized by the Holy Spirit, not by the apostles. The apostles, they just followed the Holy Spirit and spoke about God. The second one, this unity, it actually allows communication between people who only know different languages. You see that Luke actually emphasizes, like each of them hears his own native language. He keeps saying that phrase. Their own language is still there. The Holy Spirit hasn't made them to speak one language. The diversity is maintained, but they still hear the same message, the mighty works of God. That is a unity with diversity. I'm not sure whether when you read Acts, when Peter stood up to speak to the crowd, what language did he use? I mean, all those people hear their own native language, but what Peter is saying, just like I'm speaking, I mean, there's no translator, there's no headphone there. When did the language change? There's definitely a miracle. I don't know how that exactly happened. But it doesn't matter. Because those people, they heard, they understood. It's because what they understood is the same. It's God's word. The Spirit certainly speak your language. Not sure they will speak in your first language, your mother tongue, or speak in other language that you're more familiar with now. But we'll speak in the language that you understand. But one thing is the same to all believers is the Spirit speaks the same truth of God. because that is his vocabulary. That's also our common vocabulary with each other. So it's like, I mean, when you talk to our Cantonese congregation, avoid using, oh, GG, that kind of thing. Because they don't understand. Use the common vocabulary. I mean, if that common vocabulary have to be in Cantonese, and you happen to know that Cantonese, use that. And that is, I mean, this part is not the end of the unity given by the Spirit. The third difference between Pentecost and Babel is the fellowship of the believers. They love each other. They stay together. That's the same fact. But the fellowship of the believers. After the special day, after the exceptional wind, fire, probably the language, after 3,000 new believers joining the apostle, this is what happened in the daily life. Certainly you still see wonders and signs. But most of the description, as I say, is about teaching. It's about sharing, about fellowship, about prayers that happen every day. Where is the language issue? Do they speak in tongue every single day? I'm not sure whether they have Egyptian or Greek service, like all different fellowships. But it seems that the focus is not on the diversity of languages now. The focus is on teaching, on fellowship, breaking of bread and prayers. They now have the Holy Spirit. They now have the new life, the joy, the freedom, the bonus, the power from the Holy Spirit. How do we see unity in the early church? If you look at that, they had all things in common. They are not thinking about their own needs, but other people's needs. Each of them gives and receives with glad and generous hearts. People love them because they see them love each other. That's the unity given by the Holy Spirit. Without the unity of spirit, without love, there's no fellowship. It's quite striking to me when they stay together and had all things in common. Because we haven't been able to do that here. Can you imagine all of us live together instead of going back home after Friday and Sunday? Most of us may not be willing to do that because we got our own things to do. We got our own home because our own place maybe is better. Do you still think about yourself first? I mean, if we live together, it's no longer yours. It's ours. Do you still have fear that, oh, if I share everything, will that lose to your brother and sister? I don't know. The early church no longer have that fear. They give it all out. They surrender. Everything. Perhaps we can do it in a different way in today's church. But I think that that's something more than we are doing now. Maybe. In a life, we want a life to be controllable. We panic, we're anxious when things go uncontrollable. But just like in Babel, they want to build, they want to possess. But here, after the Pentecost, the believers sold the possession and belongings and distributing to all. It's different. The Babel, they together, they build, they want to live together, they build big city. It's different in Pentecost. They no longer just care about themselves. They try to understand other people's needs and distribute them, not afraid that those things may not come back when they need them. But that is love. Love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, it's not proud, it does not dishonor others, it's not self-seeking. In Babel, they seek to boast their own name. That's not love. In Jerusalem, you see love everywhere in the fellowship. Every single time when we talk about this passage, it seems to be something is far away from us. Seems to be something like ideal in the Bible, not now. If I call us to do it in a, even that I propose a feasible way that we live together, I think the people who sign up will be a handful, just like that, maybe less than that. I'm not sure. We should try. I should perhaps spend some time to draft a proposal that we can live together. But we don't want to go back to Babel. I mean, if we haven't arrived at Pentecost, I mean, like the stage in Pentecost in the early church, we don't want to go back to Babel. To build our own tower that gives us security. When we talk about Pentecost, it's hard not to touch on the gift of Holy Spirit, especially speaking in tongues. Speaking in tongues is one of the gifts manifest during Pentecost. But I hope that from what we have been saying, you also see the importance of other gifts, like the spiritual gift of teaching. And certainly, Luke focused more on the hearing. It's like the understanding of tongues. So it's not just speaking of tongues, it's the interpretation of tongues. I would like to read to you what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 12. In the body of Christ, each one of you is a part of it. And God has placed in the church first of all apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, and helping, of guidance, and of different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? Certainly the answer is no, not all of them. Now eagerly desire the greater gift. And yet I will show you the most excellent way. What is that excellent way? 1 Corinthians 13 is about? It's about what? Love. Every one of us should have this general gift to all believers. We should grow the fruit of the Spirit. Yes, maybe we have, individual may have special spiritual gifts, but without love, we are nothing. The Alliance office had distributed a sort of a small booklet on the spiritual gift to us. It's something that we, as a church, we should learn more on that. And we will arrange some time to learn more on that. But I think we definitely need to remember that love is the greatest gift. It's what the Holy Spirit have given to every one of us. That we certainly have that. We don't need to pray for that. We just need to practice that. So to end, to remind you, to summarize, unity is God given through the Holy Spirit. That's not something we fight for. We just need to receive it. And unity doesn't mean the same. We can have different gifts. We can do different things. But one thing is the same. It's like unity means loving each other. I encourage you to spend more time with people who have a different background as you in the church. Maybe outside of the church, you, in order to spread the gospel, you find people who have similar interests and it's easier to have a common topic. But in church, the common topic, it's about God, about the mighty work of God. If we haven't have that common topic, that common vocabulary, what are we doing here? We're just like those people in Babel. Just building a church, setting up even the love fest, having lunch together, like we fill up the hall, inviting people. If we don't have that common vocabulary of God's mighty work, then it's nothing. Try to talk to people that they are different from you on many things. Because we actually have one thing in common. That's the Holy Spirit. And I think that is how, I mean, you cannot imagine what you are going to talk to them in advance. Because that is not part of the thing that you can control. You may feel, oh, awkward. But I think that is how we experience, how we can be amazed and astonished that how the Holy Spirit brings us together. That's how we demonstrate the unity of God, how we experience the unity of God. Let's try that this afternoon in the lunch, in the Pentecost lunch. Let's pray. Lord, we give thanks to you that you have given us the Holy Spirit so that we can do things that we couldn't do before. Maybe before we focus on ourselves, we focus on what we want to satisfy ourselves, that we, in a certain way, that we only talk to those people that have similar interests as us. But Lord, when we talk about your work, your mighty work, we should be able to do that with different people who are in you. Lord, we imagine, maybe we cannot imagine, like the day in that they've disclosed to us in Revelation, that every nation, every tribe, we all worship you together. And Lord, I think we will also share meal together, just like what happened in the early church. Lord, help us to experience the unity that you have given us. We just need to go and be bold and to try. Lord, give us courage. Give us love. Help us love each other. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we prayed. Amen.